Amen. We're a few weeks away from having a special service here on October 10th where we burn our mortgage. I don't know if there will be fire involved in that Sunday or not. I don't know how you do mortgage burning. But Pastor Rudd will be with us, and he's looking forward to being with us. I invited him a few days ago to... while he's in town, just preach Friday night and Saturday night too, and so we'll have a mini revival. It'll be October 8th and 9th, and it'll give you a chance to spend some time with him instead of trying to cram everything in on Sunday. And I hope that you'll put that on your calendar and that you'll make it a priority to be here. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5 with you today, and Ephesians is written to people like you and I, and again, I want to look at chapter 5, but let me try to explain to you what's going on before the verse I read. In chapter 4, Paul is sort of, in my opinion, trying to just remind people they ought to be living right. And so, in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, put off the old man. In other words, don't be like you used to be. Put off the old man. And then in verse 23, he says, and put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And then later on in verse 30, he says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And in verse 31, he says, and let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. By the way, you know what clamor means? Every other place in the Bible, it's translated as crying. Don't be a crybaby. Don't be a crybaby, he says. And evil speaking. Somebody was a crybaby in the lobby this morning. Someone. Look around. No, I didn't hear anything, but I know church lobby. Somebody didn't like something, and they were crying about it in the lobby. Don't be a clamorer. An evil speaking to put away from you with all malice. And then in chapter 5, verse 2, he says, and walk in love. Love people. Care about people. And then in verse 15, he says, and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. And then he gets down here to verse 18, and I think this is a summation of what he's trying to say. I think if Paul could have said it or would have thought to say it, he would say, this is really what I'm trying to say to you. He says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation or whereas is in dissolving. The drunker you get, the worse your life gets. As in dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's getting at. The bottom line in my life and in your life is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? And I should say two things. The first is that it doesn't mean that you can have part of the Holy Spirit, but you need to have all the Holy Spirit. That can't be what it means. And sometimes when we hear the word filled with the Holy Spirit, we think of a glass of water not filled, and that's the Holy Spirit, and the glass is our life. But the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't have part of Him. My wife is a person. I got none of her, or I'm stuck with all of her. Vice versa. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. So it can't mean that you have part of Him, but not all of Him. And secondly, it can't mean that you're a believer, but now you need to receive the Spirit. Because if the Bible is clear about anything, in my opinion, it is that when you became a Christian, you received all the Holy Spirit. Look at these verses. These are just a few. Ephesians chapter 1. In Him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of the inheritance and to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. In other words, He said, when you were saved, when you believed, you received the Holy Spirit, which guarantees that you'll come into the farther inheritance. Look at the next verse here, Galatians. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, when I grew up, there were people who would say, listen, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit walks with you, but later on, you get sanctified, and that means He's in you. That says that when you believed, He entered into your heart, and that's how you know you're a believer, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You have no assurance of salvation unless the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Look at the next verse. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Galatians says the Spirit comes into your heart whereby you have assurance. You know you're a believer. You cry, Abba, Father. He is the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God again. You don't know you're a believer. You have no assurance that you're a believer if the Spirit is not in you. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, not with you, in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ in them, he is not his. How much clearer could that be? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you do not belong to God. There aren't three types of people here. There aren't the people in the flesh, but then the saved people who are in the flesh, and then the saved people who are Spirit-filled. There are the people who are in the flesh and not in the Spirit, and there are the people in the Spirit. There's no category in between those two people. You're in the flesh or you're in the Spirit. And if you're in the flesh, you don't belong to Him. If you have the Spirit, you do belong to Him. So when we say you need to be filled with the Spirit, we're not saying you have half of the Spirit. You need to have all of them. We're not saying you're a believer, but you need to receive the Spirit. What does it mean then to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. Put verse 18 back up one more time, if you will. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissolving or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the point. That's the balance. If you are drunk with wine, you are under the control of wine. If I'm drunk, wine is controlling me. So he says, don't be under the control of wine, but be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's the point. You may have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? That's the issue. The Holy Spirit is with you, but is everything in your life under the control of the Holy Spirit? If it's not, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be drunk on the Holy Spirit. You need to be in a place where you could get a DUI under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the point. Now, Paul will go on and tell you why you need to be filled, why you need to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the point that he's going to drive at is that if you aren't controlled by the Holy Spirit, you don't have the power that you need to live life. If you're not completely under the control of the Holy Spirit, completely submitted to the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't have the power and the wisdom you need to live this life as you ought. And the first thing that you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life. He says, if you aren't filled with the Spirit, you can't do this. The first thing that you can't do is have perpetual joy. Look at the next verse, verse 19. Be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is a picture of a person with joy. So Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you will be able to be a joyful person. Be submitted to the Holy Spirit so that you will be empowered by the Spirit to live a life of joy. First point. See, I was talking to my wife Friday night. And I said to her, and I'm going to say it to you, pastoring in the last month, to me, has felt like I've been in the van with my kids for 10 hours. That's what it feels like. You are lovely people. You are almost as delightful as I am. But you've been doing and fighting over stupid stuff the last month. Stupid. Just like a bunch of kids in the back of the van. You're better, some of you, not all of you, but many of you are better than the way some of you have been acting. But I blame it on COVID. It just feels like I got a van load of kids sometimes, and we've been on the road for 10 hours, and the problem is we got 10 more hours to go, and there ain't no place to pull off. I mean, think about it. We've been doing this for 18 months, and what we now know is that the vaccine can help you if you get it, but it can't keep you from getting it. And it can't keep you from spreading it. So COVID ain't going away. It could be like this 3, 4, 5 years from now. This is normal. Now the numbers may go under 1,000. They may go down to 200 or 300. But this is life until they come up with a vaccine that can keep you from getting it and keep you from spreading it. Until they do that, this is normal right here. This is it. You need the Holy Spirit. If this is normal, you need the Holy Spirit to have any joy in your life. I was watching the news the other night, and two advisors of President Trump say, yeah, he's running. 99% chance he runs. So, not only do we have COVID, but we're about to have a 2.5 year bloodletting election season coming up too. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You are not able to have joy in this culture if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit going on right now. Teenagers, you hear me say this. If you can't be happy as a teenager, you ain't going to be happy in life. Remember what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 12:5? He said, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? Jeremiah says, listen, he's talking to these people. He said, you just been fighting the guys on foot. The guys on the horses are coming. How are you going to handle that? I mean, right now, we've just been fighting COVID. COVID's going to stay, and now we got another bloodletting election, and who knows what's going to break out in the Middle East since we armed the Taliban better than they've ever been armed. We're running with the footmen right now. The horsemen are on the way. And teenagers, you're running with the footmen right now. You are. If you can't be happy with no responsibility or little responsibility, you ain't got a shot when you're living my life and you got loads of responsibility. You ain't got a shot. If you're not joyful now, you do not have the capacity to be joyful because it gets worse from there. Some of you are in your 20s. and you're sad, listen, if you can't be happy being Sister Shapely, how are you going to be happy being Sister Sag? If you can't be happy, guys, being Brother Bulk, how are you going to be happy being Brother Belly? You're not. If you can't be happy when you're good looking, the worst is yet to come. I mean, some of you are middle aged and you're saying, boy, you know, this is tough, man, raising kids and mowing lawns, take care of my parents, and yeah. But someday I'm going to retire and then I'm going to travel. Yeah, you're going to travel, okay? You're going to the chiropractor, you're going to the cardiologist, you're going to the oncologist, you're going to the hemorrhoidologist. I mean, I don't know. Listen, if you can't be happy while your body is still semi-functioning, you're not going to be happy with colonoscopies every 6 months. See, you're running with the guys. You're running with the footmen. And you say, well, I'm not happy. That's the point. You can't have joy unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have it in yourself. He says also, you can't live a life of thanksgiving without the Holy Spirit. You better be filled with the Holy Spirit or you're going to be Brother Groucho. Look at this. Give thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit. He says, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can live a life of thanksgiving. Look at this other verse. There it is. In everything, give thanks. You know what the Greek word for everything is? It means everything. Profound, isn't it? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And don't quench the Holy Spirit. Notice those two things go together. You got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit so the Spirit is empowering you so that you and I can live a life of thanksgiving. See, some of you are, I feel sorry for you. I just do, because you were so happy that Tennessee beat Bowling Green. You really were. Tennessee didn't win a game last year. I mean, Bowling Green didn't win a game last year. Greenville High could have beat Bowling Green Friday night. And they're a great team, by the way. Greenville's a great team. But Florida's coming. The Horsemen are coming. Florida's coming. Then Alabama's coming. And then Georgia's coming. The Horsemen are coming. So I'm glad they beat Bowling Green, but they should have beat Bowling Green. DeBusque Middle School should have beat Bowling Green. You need the Holy Spirit if you're going to survive another season of Tennessee football. Because you ain't never going to be thankful like you should be unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. I mean, listen, you got to find, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to help you find the thing to be thankful for. Because it's not in you and I to do it. It's in you and I to live in the most prosperous nation that ever existed and to complain. That's what's in our flesh. It's in us to be alive and able to get out and to go worship God on Sunday morning and to be able to spend and to go home to nice houses and to be clamorers, to be crybabies. That's what's in us. But we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us so that in everything we can be thankful. Sometimes it's got to be the Holy Spirit. You know, there are times when somebody's just wearing you out, and you got to have the Holy Spirit. And you know what the Holy Spirit always whispers in my ear when somebody's bawling me out? Just be thankful you ain't married to her. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Poor sap. It's always a woman bawling you out, by the way. It's never a man. Men don't do stuff like that. It's always a woman. And but you got to look for what's right. You say, well, that's great, but I'm married to her. That's the problem. And she's bawling me out. Well, you thank the Lord you ain't going to be married to her when the sweet kiss of death comes and takes you on to heaven. There ain't no marriage in heaven. Just pray for the sweet kiss of death to be merciful. Come quickly. You can always be thankful. There's something to be thankful for. And to be honest with you, sometimes when somebody's really giving it to you, it seems like the Holy Spirit reminds me, thank you, Lord, I'm not this angry. Thank you, I don't have the stuff going on in my head that they got going on in their head. Thank you, Lord. Who was the great Christian leader? I forget who it was, but he got mugged and he got beat up, and the guy took his wallet and he went home and wrote in his journal what he was thankful for. And the first thing he wrote down was, I'm thankful that he beat me up, but he didn't kill me. And then secondly, he wrote, I'm thankful that all he got was my wallet, which, you know, is a small fraction of what I actually have. Didn't get everything. But then third, he wrote, and I'm thankful that I wasn't the thief. I'm thankful I'm not out there trying to steal from people. I thank the Lord I haven't sunk that low. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to make you thankful and to receive that. And again, it's not in my flesh. It's not in your flesh. It comes through being submitted to the Holy Spirit of God and being empowered, therefore, through that submission. It's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit to make you somebody who is buoyant in life. Got to have that. Third, he says, be submitted to the Holy Spirit so that you can submit to others. Look at these next verses. It's not natural for you to submit. But he says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, yeah. Wives, submit to your own husbands. You just feel the anointing coming off that verse. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, it's just dripping with anointing. I don't know if any other part of the Bible is as anointed as that part. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of... See, he just took it all away, because now husbands got to love their wives like Christ. But, it's easier to submit than it is to love. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, wives, you need the Holy Spirit to shut up. I said that nicely. I'm a delightful person. I said that so nice. You need the Holy Spirit. You can't do that in yourself. But we're all called to submit. He said, everyone submit. He gave it to the wives twice because I think it's harder for wives to be quiet than guys. I just think that's why. So I think women get it twice and everybody else gets it at least once. But the Bible calls us to submit in many ways. Ephesians 6 says children submit. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says slaves submit to your masters. Hebrews 13:17, something I got on my Bible or my refrigerator, says submit to your pastors. So that's an anointed verse too. And then you got the other places that say, like Romans chapter 13 says, submit to your rulers. So submit to your rulers, submit to your parents, submit to your spiritual leaders, submit to your spouses. Everyone is called to submit at some level. And again, that's not in my DNA. And in fact, even as I say that, some of you are thinking, yeah, but. Yeah, I know it says submit, but. And you got five different reasons why maybe you shouldn't submit. And it is true, it's not a blanket command. It is true that you ought not submit if they're commanding you to sin. It's true that you ought not submit if they're doing it to hurt you, perhaps. There's some issues there. But I would say don't submit if somebody's trying to kill you, somebody's trying to do you harm. So there are some exceptions, but there aren't as many exceptions as your heart would tell you there are. You need the Holy Spirit because, listen, so much of our problems in life, in our relationships, is that we can't submit. We can't give it up. We just can't receive it as from the Lord. We got to get in there and we got to fight. We won't submit. You need the Holy Spirit to do that. Some of you are teenagers. would be going off to college soon. And you might already be there. But many of you will become justice warriors. That's a good thing. Justice is worth fighting for, as long as what you're fighting for is just. That's another issue. But I hope before you get into the culture scene where everyone seems to be fighting for justice, I hope you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, listen to me, every fight's not your fight. It's not. Just because there's an injustice doesn't mean you ought to fight it. Sometimes you're called to submit to unjust rulers, to difficult things. God would call you to submit, not fight it. But you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know the difference. There's an interesting place in the Old Testament that you sort of got to piece together some passages. But when David was reigning, there was a guy named... starts with an A and ends with a Phil. We'll call him Phil. Do you remember who I'm talking about? Ahithophel. Yeah. All right. Phil. So we'll call him Phil. And he was a real mover and shaker in the reign of David. He was one of David's chief advisors. But David ends up having the affair with Bathsheba, ends up conspiring to kill Uriah, and then just maybe 2-3 years later, Absalom, his son, rebels against him. And the Bible says that Phil went with Absalom and advised him against David. But David was weak, and he advised Absalom to kill him while he had a chance. And Absalom got cautious and didn't do that. And in 2 Samuel 17:23, it says that when Absalom didn't go out and fight, Phil went out and hung himself. But here's the point of that. Why did he hang himself? And if you go to 2 Samuel 23:34, we're told that Phil had a son named Eliam. And if you go back to 2 Samuel 11:4, we're told that Eliam's daughter was Bathsheba. So Phil's granddaughter was Bathsheba, and now you start to put two and two together. He was a chief advisor to David, and David treated his granddaughter about like a whore. He slept with her and sent her away, and it was only after she became pregnant, David figures out he's got to do something. He used his granddaughter and killed his grandson-in-law. And from every indication, that injustice angered him. He wanted David to pay. David was a fallen leader. And Phil saw firsthand the injustice and the evil that came out of David. And he wanted David to pay for it. But you know what? God wanted him to submit to David. He wanted him to leave it alone. And even though David, at that point, had done great evil, God was essentially saying to Phil, submit to the king. Don't fight for justice. Leave that to me, because I don't want him dead. I want him to wish he was dead. The sword never departed from David's house. And there, as Absalom is dead, David says, I wish it was me. I wish I had died. Listen to me. Every fight ain't your fight. Even though there was great injustice, God would have said to that man, although we don't have it recorded in Scripture, David is evil. What he did to your family is evil. But submit to David. This is not your fight. There's some things going on in your family that ain't your fight. It's not your fight. You need to leave it to the Lord. You say, well, great evil's been done. That doesn't mean it's your fight. If the Holy Spirit tells you it's your fight, it's your fight. But until you are completely submitted to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit says, fight, it's not your fight, even though there's great injustice. There is. You got to be wise in this life. Listen to me. And I won't be here next week. I'm going on vacation, so you got 2 weeks to get over what I'm about to say. Every fight in this church isn't your fight. It's not your fight. You say, well, I don't like the direction. I don't like what so-and-so did. So-and-so got cheated. So-and-so had something done to them that wasn't right. It doesn't mean it's your fight. It's not your fight. And I've spent my life in the church, and people that irritate me greatly are the people who get in the fights. And they want to act like the Lord told me to do this, and I know they don't read their Bible. I know they don't pray. They're haphazard in their worship. They don't tithe. They're not submitted to the Holy Spirit, and I don't think they're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not your fight until the Holy Spirit leads you into the fight. It's not. Listen to me. If I got in every fight people want me to get in my family and in the church, and in the greater church of God, and in this community, and in this country, I'd have no time to play golf. Not all my fights. Not all my fights. There are things that happen, and first of all, it's not my fight, and even if I think it might be my fight, I gotta wait on the timing to be right. It may take me a couple years to get in it, because I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be Phil who's out there saying, this is a clear-cut case of injustice, and I'm going to do something about it. And God's saying, shut up, Phil. Let me handle it. Submit to the King. Leave it alone. You've got to be wise in the Holy Spirit. You've got to be wise in the Holy Spirit. And again, you can't do it. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will spend your life getting in the fights and making them worse in your flesh. But you might just be a peacemaker. You might just make a difference. You might just make things better if you'll submit to the Holy Spirit and in being empowered and being made wise by the Holy Spirit, you move when He tells you to move. You might make a difference. In yourself, you just make it worse. You make it worse. Fourth, you need the Holy Spirit, not just to live a joyful life, not just to live a life of thanksgiving, not just to live a life of submission, but here we go, the hardest of all, to live a life of love. He says, husbands, love your wives. I think husbands get that because husbands, I think men in general, are more users than women are. I mean, how many wives get in their middle years and dump their husband and marry the pool boy? That's something guys do. It's guys who seem to have the trouble with unconditional love. It's guys who seem to have the problem with loving their wives as to the middle years. Seems like wives are able to love the guys, love their husbands at a deeper level. So I think guys get it again, twice. Husbands, love your wives. But again, you can't do that unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't love anybody unless you're filled with the Spirit. Look at I'm about finished. Look at what Jesus requires of us when it comes to love. Tell me if you can do this in your flesh. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. That isn't even your wife. Not all the time. This is how you ought to love the people that don't like you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, up here, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks you. From him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful. That's you and I, by the way, the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Can you do that in your flesh? Now, you need all the powers of heaven to help you live that verse. Impossible to love without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can love at maybe some level, but as God wants us to love, you got to have the Holy Spirit. Now listen, maybe I hit hard here a time or two in this sermon. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not. And it's a great credit that you've stayed. And if you're watching and you're still online, all of you bedside Baptists out there, I know it's tough. A lot of you have COVID, and or you're worried, and that's understandable. If you're still watching, though, that credits you. This is going to be played maybe in a week or two on Channel 18. Our church has a program from 1:45 to 2:30. So if you're watching Wednesday, it's about 2:20. If you're still watching, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to prepare you for the world as it is and for the world as it's going to be. Again, COVID's not going away. It's not. It could get worse. The election is coming. The Middle East has every sign of breaking loose again. We may be running with the footmen right now. We may look back on this time and say, boy, I should have been thankful because that it got a lot worse after September 2021. You and I need to be filled with the Spirit. Submitted to the Holy Spirit. Completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You got Him, but has He got all of you? That's the question. If He doesn't have all of you, you don't have all His power and all of His wisdom. You don't have His leadership if you aren't entirely submitted to Him. You and I need to be led, empowered, and empowered by the Spirit. And we need to be wise in the days ahead. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stand with me.